B'siyata d'shmai, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Ayin Dalid. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Gimel Omid Beis. And we're continuing to learn some of the details of the Lamed Tes Melochis, the 39 Melochis that the Mishnah listed to us on Daf Ayin Gimel Omid Aleph. Says the Mishnah, the next four Melochis are as follows in the Gemara. Hazoira, winnowing, Vaboira, selecting, Vatoichen, grinding, Vamarakid, and sifting. Of these four malachis, which are the next four malachis in the process of making bread, the Gemara asks, three of them seem to be of exact similar nature of separating the food part from the part that we don't want. Hainu Zoira, winnowing, Hainu Boira, seems to be the same as selecting, Hainu Marakid, seems to be the same as sifting. What's the difference between the three? Why are they listed as three ovois melochis? If somebody does all three, he's going to be chayev three chatois if he does it b'shoigeg. Abaye v'rova domer tarvayu kol milse dehavyu b'mishkon afel gav de'ike de'damyelo choshiv lo. Abaye and Rava both answered that since both of these were found in the process of making the Mishkan, and therefore anything that was found in the process of making the Mishkan is listed in the Mishnah and is perceived and has the halachas of being its own av. Asks the Gemara, v'lechoshev nami kuseish, pounding, which was also done in the Mishkan, why is that not listed in the 39 melachas? Omar Abaye explains, shekein oni oichel pitoi b'loi ksisha. A poor person would typically eat bread from flour that was made of wheat that was not pounded. And since the Mishnah is discussing all the things that are in Yonim, which are the process of making bread, and since not everybody does pounding, therefore pounding is not mentioned in the Mishnah, it's not its own av. Somebody who pounds on Shabbos will be chayev. He won't be chayev for its own av of ksisha. He'll be chayev because it's dumya, the dosh is similar to thrashing, and he'll be chayev for dosh. Rav Omar, Homani Rebbe, he Rav gives a different explanation why ksisha is not in the Mishnah. He says, in principle, it should be in the Mishnah. Why is it not there? The Omar Ovis Melochis Arboim Chosar Achas is following the opinion of Rebbe. And Rebbe holds that there's 39 melachis in the Mishnah, and it's not because we only found 39, and then you can ask a question, put ksisha, and we'll have number 40. No, Rebbe says you cannot have more than 39. And Rashi brings from a Gemara on Daf Tzadik Zayin, and the truth is, we already saw it on Daf Ayin Omid Aleph, that we learn out from Dvorim, Hadvorim, and Eile Hadvorim, that Eile has the numerical value of 36, Dvorim in plural form is 2, Hadvorim, the extra hay is a third one, 36 and 3 is 39. So Rebbe says you cannot have more than 39 melachas, and therefore Ksisha did not find its way in. If you add in ksisha, if you add in pounding, there'll be 40. Asks the Gemara, v'leifuk choda mehanoch v'layel kosish. Says, why do you have three that are similar? There's zoira, boira, and merakid, winnowing, selecting, and sifting, which are very, very similar. Nonetheless, there are three. However, regarding dosh, we just said now that even though dosh is there, ksisha is not there. Would it not make more sense to have two melachis similar to each other, disha and ksisha, thrashing and pounding, and then only have two melachis that are similar to separating the good part from the waste part between zoira, boira, and merakid? We'll have two, not three. Why do you have three of one and one of the other? Elo mechaverta k'dabaya, we must resort to what Abaya said before, that the reason that ksisha is not mentioned in the Mishnah is because poor people eat bread from flour that's not been pounded. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, we learnt in a brisa. Hoyu lefonov mine oichlim. If somebody had food items in front of him, boirer v'oichl, he's allowed to select and eat. Boirer u'maniach, he can select and leave. And Tosfos says leave means he can leave it for other people. And there's an element of chiddush there that you're allowed to do boira even though you don't plan to eat it yourself, just somebody else is going to benefit from the selection, it's also mutar. V'lo yivro, and there's, you're not allowed to select, and obviously there's an immediate contradiction. You just said now boirer v'oichel, boirer maniach, and now you say v'lo yivro. So obviously there's some cases that one is allowed to do boira, and some cases one's not allowed to do boira, and we'll see in the Gemara what they are. The imbirer continues the braisa that if you do boira in a case that's also to do boira, chayev chatos, as we saw in the Mishnah, boira is one of the 39 melachas that are punishable by koros if done b'shoigig. Asks the Gemara, Maiko Omar, what's going on here? Boira v'oichel, boira maniach, v'lo yivroir, v'imbirer chayev chatos. The Gemara, we have to explain what's going on. When are you allowed to do boira? When are you not allowed to do boira? Under what circumstances, on what conditions? So we're going to have five different explanations in the Gemara. And as with all these shiurim, we are learning the Gemara and trying to stay as close to Rashi as possible, but nobody listening to these shiurim should paskin, should rule halachas from this. If somebody wants to know what the halachic rulings are, has to learn the halacha or ask his rav. And we're just learning the sugyas, and please, nobody should paskin any halachas from here. Omar Ula. Ula says as follows, Hochi ka Omar, boirer v'oichel, when are you allowed to do boira l'boi bayoim? If what you're selecting, you're selecting in order to eat today, which is Shabbos. Boirer u'maniach, you're allowed to select and leave it l'boi bayoim, providing that you're going to eat it today. Ula machor lo yivrer, but to select in order to benefit from the selection tomorrow, the next day, you're not allowed to do that. V'imbir chayev chatos. And if you do boira for the next day, then he's chayev chatos. Continues, asks the Gemara, maskif lor of Chizdeh. If Chizdeh is asking a question on Ula, v'chimuta lefo is boi bayoim, if you assume that boira is a melacha, proof being that if you do it for the benefit of tomorrow, there's a chiyuv chatos, that means boirer is a melacha. If it's a melacha, just because you need it today, does that make it muta? Are you allowed to v'chim mutar lefois boi bayim, to bake? You're allowed to bake if you want to eat the bread today? V'chim mutar levashil boi bayim, are you allowed to cook if you want it for today? Of course not, because cooking and baking are av melachis. And so too, if boirer is an av melacha, just because you want it today, why should that make it mutar? El Omer of Chizdeh gives a second explanation to this braisa. Boirer v'oichel pochis mikashir. And we've already seen that those melachis to do with food, the shiur, the measurement in order to be chayev, is the size of a gregress, a dried fig. So somebody who's doing boirer less than the shiur, less than the size, the measure of a gregress, is muta. Boirer maniach. Pochis mikashir, you're allowed to do breira, you're allowed to do boira, and you're allowed to select one part of the food from another part, or one food from another food, as long as it's less than the shiur. Ukashir lo yivre, but to do boira on a full shiur of a gregress, of a dried fig, you're not allowed to do that. Ve'imbir chayev chatos, and if you did do boira on a full shiur, he's going to be chayev chatos. Maskev lor v'yosef. Rav Yosef is now asking a question on Rav Chizdeh. V'chimuta lefo is pochis mikashir? Are you allowed to bake less than a shiur? You're not allowed to do melachis less than a shiur. Chatzi shiur is also minatayra, or not also minatayra, but chatzi shiur is also. You can't say in the braisa you're allowed to do it. The braisa says boira v'oichel. You're allowed to do boira and eat. Less than a shiur is certainly not muta. Elo Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef gives a third explanation to the braisa. Boira v'oichel biyad. The regular way, the normal way of doing boira, of selecting, is by using a type of a sieve. There's a fine sieve, there's a coarse sieve, one is called a napa, one is called a kavara, but that's a normal way of doing boira. Doing it with your hand, selecting one part from another, is not your typical way of doing boira. And therefore, you're allowed to do boira biyad with your hands. Boira u'maniach biyad. You're allowed to do boira and leave it for somebody else. If you're doing the boira with your hands, bekinoin u'batamchoi, if you're using a funnel or a tamchui is a large plate. If you spread out all the different parts, all the grains on a large plate, and then you tilt the plate slowly, then the round kernels will fall off the plate and the rest will stay on the plate. That's also a type of boira, but it's not your typical way of doing boira. Bekinoin ubetamchui lo yivra. You should not do boira like that. You're using a type of a tool, even though it's not the tool that's normally used, but you're using a type of a tool. You shouldn't do that on Shabbos. It's similar to boira. V'imbir potur, but if you did it like that, since it's a not usual way of doing boira, you're potur. Aval osur. Nonetheless, you shouldn't do it. Ubenapa ubechaboro, but if you're going to do a boira, if you're going to select using either a fine sieve or a coarse sieve, which a sieve is the regular way of doing boira, lo yivro, you mustn't do boira like that. V'imbir chayev chatos, if you did do boira like that, you're chayev chatos. Asks the Gemara, Maskeflor of Hamnuna. Now Rav Hamnuna is asking on Rav Yosef, Midi kinoin v'tamchui k'toni? When it says in the Braisa, Lo yivroir v'imbir chayev chatos, does it say anywhere there in the Braisa that you shouldn't use a kinoin v'tamchui if you do your potter, and if you use a napa v'kabor your chayev? It doesn't say any of that. Rashi says that the Gemara, for the same token, could have said that it doesn't say in the Braisa anything about a napa v'chabora. All these conditions that you, Rav Yosef, explained, it doesn't say it in the Braisa anywhere. Elomer Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna is giving a fourth explanation to the Braisa. Boirer v'oichel, oichel mitoich psoiles. The type of boirer that you're allowed to do, that the Braisa says you're allowed to do, is if you're taking out the food from the waste, not separating the waste from the food. The typical way of doing boira would be to remove the waste and leave the fruit, leave the food, leave what's good. To take away what's good from what's bad, that's not a normal way of boira, and that's muta. Boira miniach. What type of boira are you allowed to do and leave for somebody else? Oichel mitoich psoiles. Again, if you're taking the food from the waste. Psoiles mitoich oichel, but separating the waste from the food, lo yivro, you're not allowed to do that. If you do that, you chayev chatos. Maskif lo Abaya. Abaya is now asking on Rav Hamnuna, Midi oichel mitoich psoiles k'toni? Does it say in the Braisa, when the Braisa says, boir v'oichel, does it say boir v'oichel means oichel mitoich psoiles? That condition is not mentioned in the Braisa either. Elo mar Abaya. Abaya says as follows, boir v'oichel la'alta. You can do boira, you can select and eat immediately. Uboiro maniach la'altar. You can select and leave it for somebody else to eat immediately. Uleboi bayoim, but if it's, you're just doing it for later on in the day, la'ivre, that boira you should not do. V'imbire, if you do boira in order to benefit from it later on in the day, nasik boira la'itzer, it's similar to doing a boira which is there in order to put away for storage long term, v'chayev chatos. And his chayev chatos, that's the boira which is mentioned in the Mishnah. Omru Rabbonon kamei de Rava. The Chachomim said to Rava the way Abaya explained this braisa. Omar Luhu Rava said, Shapir Omar Nachmeini. Abaya, who was also named Nachmeini, he said he was right. He gave the correct explanation to this braisa. Rashi in Gittin, the Flamadalad, explains that the reason Abaya was called Nachmeini because he was brought up by Rabbi Bar Nachmeini, and Rabbi called Abaya after his own father Nachmeini, and therefore Abaya had this second name called Nachmeini. Continues the Gemara. Hoyu lefonov shnei mine oichlin, if somebody had two types of food in front of him, ubirir v'ochal, he selected one from the other and ate it, ubirir v'iniach, or he separated one from the other and left it for somebody else to eat. Rav Ashi Masni Potur, Rav Yirmiya Medifta Masni Chayev. Rav Yirmiya says, it's Chayev. It was obviously done without the necessary conditions. Rav Ashi says, Potur. Potur is this in-between stage. It's Potur, but it's Osa. I mean, it's not Mutur, it's not Osa. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Masni Potur. If you're saying it's potter and not mutter, it must have been done in a way that was not allowed to be done. If it was not allowed to be done, v'otoni chayev. In the braisa we saw before, that everything that's not boirer v'oichel is chayev chatos. Why are you saying just potter and not osur? Lo ikashi, says the Gemara, ha bekinoin v'tamchui, ha benapa v'kabora. Even though We saw in the Braisa before, Abaye explained the Braisa, that if you do Boira immediately, in order to eat it straight away, it's mutter, and it's also to do it for later on. But even when it's mutter to do it straight away, it's if you do it, that's only if you're not doing it with a tool. If you're doing it with a tool, it's going to be osa. But if you did it with kinoin and vatamchi, which is a type of tool, a type of plate, we said before, it's either the funnel or the large plate, which is not the regular way of doing boira, then it's osa. He's potter. But if he does it, hob and up of a chabor, if you do it with a tool, or a sieve, a coarse sieve or a fine sieve, that's the way that you do boira, in that case, it's going to be chayev. Even Rav Ashi is going to agree that it's chayev. Continues the Gemara. Ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, Omar, he said, Shabsod Rav Bivi Havoy, it was the Shabbos that it was Rav Bivi's responsibility to serve the Chachomim. Ve'iklu Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, Rav Ami and Rav Asi were visiting at the time. Shoder Kamayhu, Rav Bivi, he threw in front of the Chachomim, Kalkolo de Peri, a whole basket of fruits. Now these fruits, they had leaves attached to them. He didn't want to separate each fruit from the leaf, pulling off the fruit from the leaf and giving it to each Talmud, to each Chacham that was there. Rather, he just spread them out. He threw them, so to speak, he spread them out, and that way the leaves fell off the fruits on their own, and each Talmud would take the fruits, whichever fruits he wanted. V'lo yodano, Rav Dimi is saying that I don't know if the reason that Rav Bivi threw the fruits like that and didn't want to take off each fruit from the leaf was because he held that even removing the fruit from the waste, from the part you don't want, is also osa. Or if the reason that he didn't take off every fruit and distribute it to each Talmud and he just put them all on the table that way, maybe he did it because he was wanted to give out the fruits generously, allowing everyone to take whatever they wanted, and therefore he didn't handle each fruit individually. Continues the Gemara. Chizkia Omar. Haboirer turmusin mitoich pseiles. Turmusin is a type of bean, and after that bean got cooked, they would typically have to separate the food part from the shell that was the pseiles, that was the waste. So somebody who does that, chayev, he's chayev for boira, for separating. Leima kasova chizkia oichel mitoich pseiles asur. Could it be that chizkia holds that even taking the food away from the waste is asa? Because there you're taking away the bean, the turmusin, away from the shell. It's oichel mitoich pseiles, and nonetheless it's asa. Says the Gemara, shani turmusin deshalki, deshalki le shiva zimni, v'iloi shokli le misrach, ukepseiles mitoich oichel domi. There's a number of different versions here and a number of different explanations. Typically, what they did with the turmusin, they would cook it, they would boil it 7 times. And the better quality the turmusin was, the more times they had to be boiled before they were mature, before they were ready to be eaten and well cooked. So the Gemara says as follows. We're talking here about turmusin, the shulki le shiva zimni, that they should have been boiled 7 times. V'iloi shokli, the translation of iloi shokli means, had he not taken them out. Which means that after they were cooked a certain amount of times, not 7 times, after 2 or 3 times, he took out those that were ready. And had he not taken them out, they would have got spoilt, misrach. The version that Rashi wanted to read in the Gemara, and Rashi says that's the best version, is not v'iloi shokli, rather v'iloi sholki le misrach. So I'm just going to explain the way Rashi's, in his most preferable explanation, what Rashi explains here. What happened was he didn't take away the bean from the shell around it. He actually took out those beans that were the higher quality beans. So that could be considered oichel mitoich pseiles, because he's taken out the good quality beans. Or it could be oichel mitoich oichel, because he took out the better quality beans, and what he left behind was not the shells, he left behind the beans, just the less quality beans. But the Gemara says no. since the beans that he took out the better quality beans. The problem is that the better quality beans are only really ready to be eaten if they're left in to be boiled 7 times. And the less quality beans, which is the ones he left inside the pot, those are the ones that are already fully cooked after once or twice. So the beans he took out, it's true that they are the higher quality beans, but if they are left as they are, taken out of this pot, and they're not recooked a number of times, they will get spoilt. And since he's taking out these high quality beans before they've been finished cooking, and they are going to get spoilt if left like this, they are considered psoiles, they are considered waste, relative to those lesser quality beans that he left in the pot, where those lesser quality beans have already finished their cooking process after once or twice, and they would not get spoilt even if the process terminated here. And therefore, taking out the better quality beans that have not been cooked 7 times is called taking away psoiles from oichel, and taking away psoiles from oichel is asur. Continues the Gemara, we're now moving to the next melacha in the Mishnah. V'hateichen, there's an issa on Shabbos, one of the melachas is to grind. Omer of Papa, hay man de porim silka, somebody that minces beet, chayev mishum teichen, it's very similar to grinding. Grinding makes something big into lots of little pieces, and mincing something also makes it into, changes its form from the original solid that it was to something made of smaller particles, and therefore is chayev for teichen. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Menashe, hay man de solis silti, if somebody took chips of wood and he cut them to make even smaller chips for firewood, chayev mishum teichen, it's the same melacha as grinding. What grinding does, it takes large particles and makes them into small particles. So taking a big piece of wood, a big chip of wood, and cutting it into smaller chips is chayev for teichen. Omer of Ashi, he copied a moshchasa, if he's particular to the size of the chips that he wants, the exact measure that he's breaking them and cutting them down to, chayev mishum mechateik, he's also chayev for the melacha of cutting. Anyone who cuts something down to a particular size, to a particular measure, is chayev on Shabbos for mechateich. Continues the Gemara. V'halosh v'ho'ifer. The next two melachas in the Mishnah, in the process of making bread, is kneading and baking. Omer of Papa. Rav Papa asks, Shovak Tana Didon, our Tana of this Mishnah, he left Bishul cooking. He didn't mention cooking in the Mishnah. And we know that cooking was done in the Beis HaMikdash when they would cook the samamonim, the different herbs. Shovak Tana Didon, Bishul samamonim dehava b'mishkon, v'nokat oifa. Why is the Mishnah mentioning baking and not mentioning cooking? Baking was not done in the Mishkan, cooking was. It's the same av, but why is cooking not mentioned in the Mishnah and baking is? Answers the Gemara, Tana Didon Sidura de Pas Nokat. The theme of the Tana of the Mishnah for the first 11 melachis are those melachis needed for making bread. And bread is typically baked, not cooked, and therefore the Mishnah preferred to write Oifeh than to write Bishul. But of course, Bishul is an Av Melacha on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omer Vacha Bar Rav Avira, Hay Man De Shoda Sichso La'atuna. If somebody throws a moist wooden peg into an oven in order to harden it, chayev mishum mevashel, is chayev for cooking. Says the Gemara Pshita, why shouldn't he be chayev for cooking? Is something that needed to be finalized, needed to be fixed up in an oven, why should that not be similar to cooking? Says the Gemara, no. Ma'u detema, I may have thought lishurei monoko mechavin, since the intention of putting in the oven is not to soften it. One of the factors that define cooking is that you're softening something that was hard before. This wood, it was moist before, and you're making it hard. So I may have thought, since your intention is to harden the wood, it's not called cooking. Kumashmalon the chiddush is the mirpa rofi, because this wood is moist, before the wood gets hard, the wood actually softens because of the moisture in it. V'hodar komet, and only afterwards it hardens. And since it goes through a process of softening, it's similar to cooking, and therefore is going to be chayav for cooking. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rabbah Bar Rav Huna, Hayman de artich kufra. Somebody who heats up pitch and typically liquidizes it, it turns into a liquid, chayav mishum avashel, he's chayav for cooking. Says the Gemara Pshita, what's the chiddush? Of course, why shouldn't it be cooking? Ma'odutema, I may have thought, given the hodar v'ikusha, since it gets hardened again later, eimeloi, it's not called cooking, kumash malon, the chiddush is that even though it's going to get hard again later, since he's got to go through the process of softening it, it's called bishul. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rava, Hayman de Ovid Chavita, somebody who creates an earthenware barrel on Shabbos, Chayev Mishum Sheva Chatois, he's Chayev for seven melochis, seven av melochis. Tanura, and if he's baking, if he's creating an oven, an earthenware oven on Shabbos, Chayev Mishum Shmoine Chatois, then he's going to be Chayev for an eighth melocha as well. And what are these melochis? So Rashi explains as follows. In order to make an earthenware barrel, you need to do toichen, you need to grind the earth, then boira, you have to separate the part of the earth that you want for this barrel, and then meraktim, you've got to sift it, then megabil, and then you've got to knead it, which we know that kneading is a tolda of losh. Megabil is losh, it's just losh is kneading flour, and megabil is kneading mud with water, umamareach, and then he smoothens out the mud to make a barrel. Umamareach is another one of the melochis, umavir, and then he kindles the fire to bake the barrel, that's another melocha, and then he puts it into the oven, and he actually bakes it, and then he's chayev for mevashil. So these are the seven melochis that are typically involved in making an earthenware barrel. Now, if he's making an oven, if he's creating an earthenware oven, then he's going to put onto the outside of the oven, he's going to cover it, or maybe the inside of the oven, he's going to paint it, he's going to coat it with some type of a coating, and that is called a gmar melocha. A regular barrel, you put the earthenware, the clay, into the oven, and it comes out a finished barrel. There's no makeh bepatish, there's no final blow. There's nothing a person does that marks this is the end of the creation of this barrel. But with an oven where you typically coat it, and then that coating is a makeh bepatish, it's a final act that you're doing that makes the oven usable, and makeh bepatish is another one of the melachis. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abaya, Hayman de Ovad Chalosa, somebody who creates a very large round receptacle called Chalsa, Chayev Achas Esrei Chatois, he's Chayev 11 Melochis, V'ichayte Lepume, when you finished it, you sew together it around its mouth of this receptacle, Chayev Shlosh Esrei Chatois, you Chayev an extra 2 Melochis. And what are these 11 Melochis? So Rashi explains as follows. First, he's got to do zoymer, he's got to reap the reeds that he's making this receptacle from, and we know that reaping, being zoymer, we already saw in the Gemara before, is chayev also for koitzer, for reaping, and also for noitea, for planting, since he's helping the growth of what's left behind. And then ma'amir, he gathers together the reeds, and then his boirer, he selects the reeds that he wants. Then his mamachik, he smoothes them down. He makes them into thinner reeds, which is similar to teichen that we saw before. Then he cuts them to size. That's mechateich. And then he does meisach and shtei botinirin, which is the two melochis which we saw in preparing the loom for weaving this receptacle. And then he does the weaving itself, which is ariga, and then he does makeh bepatish, he smoothens out all the edges, and that's the final blow, making this receptacle usable. And that's the 11 melachis. And if he sews over the edges of these reeds, he folds them over and he sews them down, then Rashi says there's another two. There's teifer, there's sewing, and then kosher, he then ties together the knots. He knots the strings and the threads, and that's another two melachis. And that's what the Gemara says, that if you sew together the mouth of this receptacle, then there's 13 melachis. Continues the Gemara. Hagoizes es atzemer, the next two melachis are shearing the wool, umalabnoi, and whitening the wool. Omer Rabba bar Barchono, Omer Beichanon. Hatove tzemer shal gabe behema. Somebody who spins wool whilst it's still on the back of the animal. B'Shabbos, and he does this on Shabbos. Chayev sholosh chatois, he's done three melachis. Achas mishum goizes, he's shearing it. After he spins the wool, he's going to shear it. He's going to take it off the back of the animal. That's goizes. V'achas mishum menapeitz, and one for straightening out, for disentangling the wool before he starts spinning it. He has to disentangle it. V'achas mishum tova, and he's going to be chayev for spinning. Rav Kahana Omer, Rav Kahana says he's not going to be chayev any chatos. Ein derech geziza b'kach, that's not a normal way of shearing. Number one, you don't shear after it's been spun, and number two, if you spin it before you shear it, then when you shear it, you actually have to remove it with your hands. You can't use a typical tool, and shearing is normally done with a tool which is made for shearing. Ve'ein derech menapeitz b'kach, it's not normal to disentangle wool whilst it's still on the back of the animal. Ve'ein derech tovi b'kach, it's not normal to spin wool when it's still on the back of the animal. Asks the Gemara v'loy, is it not normal? V'atanya mishmeid Reb Nechemya, we saw in the Brayse in the name of Reb Nechemya, shotuf be'izim, in the Midbar, the Pasuk says when they would make the curtains for the Mishkan, it says in the Pasuk, tovu es ha'izim, that they spun the goats. Everybody knows you can't spin a goat. What's it mean, tovu es ha'izim? They spun the wool, the hair of the goats, when it was still on the goat. What did they do? Shotuf be'izim, they would wash the hair when it was still on the goat. V'tovu be'izim, and they would spin it when it's still on the goat. Alma tavya al gabe behema shmei tavya. You see that it's called spinning. The pasuk calls it tovu. Says the Gemara, chochme yasira shani. They had extraordinary wisdom, and therefore that's different. No normal person, it's not a normal way of spinning. The fact that these women in the Mishkan had extraordinary wisdom to be able to spin this way, that does not make it a regular, normal way of spinning, and therefore, according to Rav Kahana, he's potter. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Hatoilesh es haknaf. If somebody plucks off the large feathers on the wings of a bird, V'koimtoi, and then he clips the top of the feather, the soft part, and he wants that soft part, he's going to use it for the filling of a cushion, of a pillow, whatever he wants to fill it with. V'hamoirtoi, and then he rips out, he pulls off the threads, the hairy part of the rest of the feather off the, I don't know what you call it, the stalk, off the corner in the middle of the feather, he pulls it apart. He pulls off the soft part of the feather, and that as well he's going to use for a soft filling. Chayev sholosh chatois. He's chayev for three melachis. V'om Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Reb Shimon ben Lakish is going to explain to us what are the three melachis. Number one, toilish, when he plucks the feather, chayev mishum geizes. He's chayev, it's similar to shearing. He's going to be chayev for geizes. Koitim, when he cuts off the top, he's chayev mishum mechateich, because he knows exactly how far he wants to cut it. He only wants the top bit where it's soft, because he wants to use it for filling. And Rashi adds, not only is he measuring the bit that he's cutting off, the bit in the middle, that stalk in the middle, also has to be the right size, because he's going to use that for something else later. And therefore, since he's cutting it exactly to size, it's chayev mishum mechatech. Rashi says they used to make hats from these stalks, from the middle of the feather. Memarit, when he pulls off the hairy part of the feather from the stalk of the feather, chayiv mishum memachik, it's as if he's smoothing the part of the middle of the feather, and that's memachik. Continues the Gemara, the next two melachis, hakosher, tying, v'amatir, and untying. Says the Gemara, Kshiro b'mishkon heichavoyi. Where did you find tying a knot in the Mishkan? Omar Rava shekein koishrim b'yaseidois oiholim. The curtains that were covering the Mishkan, they were tied down onto the pegs of the tents, and they obviously made a knot to tie these coverings onto the pegs. Says the Gemara, "Hu koishar menos lahatirhu." That's not a permanent knot. They would travel in the Mishkan, they were traveling a lot of the time, they would make the knot and have in mind that it's going to be untied shortly. So that's not a type of knot that you're chayav for on Shabbos. Elomar Abaya. Abaya says, Shekein oirge yurios. Those that used to weave the curtains, shenifse kolohem nimo. If one of the threads would tear, koishin oisa. They would tie them together, they would make a knot. And that would be a permanent knot. And those are the knots that they had in the Mishkan. Omale Rava. So Rava says, Tiratz to Kosher. Okay, you found me where they would make a knot in the Mishkan. Matir Ma'ika, Ma'ika Lemeima. Where do we find in the Mishkan the untying of a knot? V'chiteima, are you going to say? Di misramele trei chuta kitri. V'hadadodi shori chad. V'kotar chad. Are you going to say that whenever they would weave, they would use threads, or they would weave with six parallel threads next to each other? Now, when one of them would end, and they would have to match it with the next one, they would have to connect it with the continuation of it, then they would make a knot. Now, what happens if two of these threads that were running parallel to each other both ended at the same time, and in order to continue weaving, they would have to tie together a continuation of each thread, so now you had two little knots next to each other. When they finished the weaving, it didn't look so nice that there were two little knots next to each other. It would be disturbing to the eye. It would stick out. So they would untie one of those knots, and in order that they shouldn't notice the two knots next to each other. So that's what it means. That the imis ramele trei chutei kitri, if they would find two knotted threads behade adodi next to each other, shori chad, they would untie one, v'kotar chad, and they would leave one tied. Says Rava, that can't be. Hashta lifnei melech basav adam ein oisin kein. Even for a mortal king, a human king, if you were making a curtain for him, you wouldn't untie one of these threads after it's been woven, because you'll see you'll notice there's a hole in it. Of course they wouldn't have done that for the curtains that are there to glorify Hashem's name in the Mishkan. Rather, what would they do? If there were two threads that finished next to each other, they would cut one of the threads further down, further away from it, and then they would tie it lower down, and then you wouldn't have two knots next to each other. But there would never be a situation that you would untie one of these knots in the Mishkan. Elo Marova, Rava says, Vitema Rabbi Loi, Shekein Tzidei Chilozoin. Those that would trap, that would hunt the Chilozoin, these were the fish from which the Tcheles was made, a certain color used in the Mishkan. Then, in order for them to catch these fish like beings, they would, some say it was a shell, a fish, whatever the Chilozoin is, we don't know what the Chilozoin is exactly, we don't have a Masaira, but then, in order to catch these Chilozoin, they would have to make nets. And when making nets, koishrin or matirin, they would sometimes make knots, and other times they would untie these knots. And since they would untie these nets in order to catch these chilozoin, and they would use the chilozoin for the Mishkan, so we find that in the process of making the Mishkan, there would be a concept of matir, of untying. Continues the Gemara. Vatoifer shtei tfiris. Sewing two stitches on Shabbos is a melacha. Asks the Gemara of Loi Kaima. We know that any melacha, to be considered a melacha, has to be something that can last. If you just make two stitches, they're going to get untied. There's nothing lasting about two stitches. We're obviously talking about that the two stitches were made with threads that were tied together and would stay tied together, and providing that the threads are tied together, doing two stitches like that is Teufel steht für euch and is chayev on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. The next melacha, hakirea al menos litfir. If somebody tears a material in order to sew it. If you tear it without the intention of sewing it, it's not one of the lamates melachis. We didn't find such a concept in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, there must have been a concept of tearing in order to sew. Asks the Gemara, Kriya b'Mishkan mihava. Where did we have such a type of tearing in the Mishkan? Rabbi Reb Zera d'Omra Tarvayu, Shekein Yiriyah Shenofal Pod Darno. One of the curtains in the Mishkan, if a worm fell on it and made a very rounded hole, burrowed a hole through the curtain, and if you just sew up a round hole, there will be a type of crease in the curtain, and that's not what they wanted. Kir in bo, they would tear a little bit above or below and next to this rounded hole. The toifron oisa, that way they would be able to tie all the parts together and fix the hole. And so over there, since before they would sew, they would tear it. So you see in the Mishkan, there was a concept of Kirea al-Menos Litfer. Nimir Tz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.